I watch the news and I'm amazed. Riots in the UK, the like of which I don't think I've ever seen before. A legitimate peaceful protest used as an excuse to attack other people, to wantonly smash things, and feel free to help oneself from the local shops. Then we see the numbers of people in court with questions being asked about the sentences being handed down. Then we see the politicians and the police argue about what was done right, what was done wrong, whose fault it was. And because of modern media, we find ourselves up close in the lives of the people involved. Or we see the latest figures from the various wars taking place in the world. We see justifications and counter-arguments. The great answer hindsight is wheeled out by some who say they knew it all along. And for most of us, it's at a distance. And then suddenly Matt arrives on the scene and suddenly you've made a connection that otherwise you wouldn't have made. Or we see the consequences of famine and drought coupled with civil war and the effect it's having, particularly on families in Somalia, but also in the other countries of East Africa. Don't know about you, I watch it and I'm amazed. And I don't know how to respond. We can react, but I don't know how to respond. Do you sometimes see things and just find yourselves praying immediately? Do you do that? Because what else can we do? Yet, what do you pray for, and how do you pray? I ask myself the question, what would Jesus do? Because it's a good question to ask. Trouble is, it's quite difficult to know the answer. Because you look at Jesus' reactions to all sorts of things, and Jesus was never predictable. And then I come to what I see as the big question. What ought I to do? Because I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about this morning on holiday, on and off. I like to tell you that I spent hours preparing this sermon, but I didn't, not while I was on holiday. But quite often I was thinking, where am I going? And where's God taking me on this? And then when I actually got to my desk to try and sort it out, I was aware already those events of the week before last are already paling into the distance, and we could so easily forget. And I know you prayed, those of you here last week, and Janet referred to it again this morning, quite rightly so. But what do you and I do is the big question. And actually, I am always so grateful when I find that whoever's leading worship has been listening to God and heard the same things. Because the songs that Nick declared and the things that we prayed before we started this meeting, whilst I've got a sense of where I'm going, that just helped me to think, well, the track's right, whether the detail is or not. But what ought you and I to do in these kinds of big circumstances? Because, you see, we can have a great time here, insulated, and we can worship our wonderful God. And we can pray for other people and we can have that sense. But actually we are so tiny as a percentage of the community of Kirkby. We're small, aren't we? We're probably the biggest church in town. In fact, I'm pretty certain we are. But if you put all the churches together, it's tiny. What ought you and I to do? Because I get the distinct impression that the good news of the gospel that Jesus came to release is in your hands and mine. So it's a serious, important question, isn't it? And you can't just dismiss it with a few glib this, that and the others, because we've been doing it for a long time. Ground level, perhaps 12,000 people next weekend, 30 years. But 12,000 people, yeah, it's a great event. Still quite small. How many of those churches are huge compared with what they were 30 years ago? They're not. So there's something that we need to grasp hold of. What ought I to do? Are there matters over which I should speak out? Write to my MP. Write to the newspapers. Social media make it too easy sometimes to just put your first thoughts out there. And your first thoughts, to be perfectly honest, aren't necessarily the best ones. Is there anything practical I can do that will make a difference? I ask myself the question, what are we actually dealing with? And how does one deal with it? And finally, I have to ask myself the question, do I have anything to offer? Now, I personally almost certainly haven't. But there's a Holy Spirit working within me. And so I want to stir up our hope this morning and a sense of almost our responsibility that we have something where we can make a difference. Now, let me come back to what would Jesus do. Then you will see why I can't instantly give you an answer, but we'll also give you some clues, because we should always be looking to see if we can work out what Jesus would do. Because that's always going to be helpful. And we can look at what Jesus did, but did Jesus always do what you thought he would do? No, he didn't. I mean, I've mentioned it before, but it always... Well, I feel a bit sorry for poor old Peter. You know, when he'd just walked on the water, and then he'd sunk, and Jesus helped him back into the boat, and instead of him being encouraged by Jesus saying, "You did well, Peter." Because that's what I'd expect. You know, if I'd walked on water, I would be expecting Jesus to say, "Well done, Graham, you've just walked on water." What did Jesus say to Peter? He said, "Well, you haven't got much faith, have you?" Because he sank. Now, come on, is that fair? But that was Jesus at that time. Let me give you a few examples. In the temple, I see Jesus moved with righteous anger concerning the abuse of people in his father's house. So it's no good me saying so Jesus would be all quiet and calm, because when Jesus saw all that was happening in his father's house in the temple, he made whips and he drove people out because of what they were doing in his father's house. In Zacchaeus's house, the positive way in which Jesus approaches Zacchaeus by inviting himself for tea and knowing his name and calling him down produces such a remarkable about turn in Zacchaeus's life that Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house." When a woman's brought to Jesus who's been caught committing adultery, and the men around use it as a test, quoting the Old Testament ruling that she should be stoned, Jesus' reaction is to say that the man without sin should cast the first stone. And they begin to disappear. They all walk away. And then Jesus says to the woman, "Has no one condemned you? Then neither do I. Go and sin no more." When some of Jesus' followers find themselves unable to deal with a demon wreaking havoc in a young man's life, Jesus is strong with them when they ask him why they failed. He declares it is because they do not have enough faith. Many of his stories, the wedding banquet story, the lost sheep, indicate that Jesus was very clearly for the have-nots of this world. Would you agree? Now you just take those five little examples I've got, and it means you can't easily come up with a what would Jesus do. What would Jesus do if he was in a street in Ealing? What would Jesus do if he was in Afghanistan? What would Jesus do? I don't know. But I finish up back with my own question, so what ought I to do? And by implication, what ought you to do? Now, I've mentioned a few things already. I do sometimes write about things or sign petitions, but I'm always very careful to be gracious in whatever I say. Because it's actually always easy to criticise, and I am aware that I can do that quite readily. But rarely do we know all the facts, and therefore we should think before we speak. Ground Level has helpfully appointed a parliamentary liaison officer to meet with MPs and with the guidance of the care organisation to help us focus on important matters and find ways of expressing ourselves which will mean we will be heard. That's important. But do you know, as I contemplated this subject over the last 2 weeks, there was one bit of Jesus' teaching that kept coming up in my mind that wouldn't go away, and I wished it would. It's found in Luke chapter 6, where Jesus says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, this is not saying that we are not called upon to discern the difference between right and wrong. Quite the opposite. It is our business to discern the difference between right and wrong. But what Jesus is speaking against here is hasty, ill-thought, through condemnatory statements, which it is easy to come up with too quickly. And then he adds a little bit of hyperbole, which you'll all remember. He says, it's no good trying to remove a speck of dust from your brother's eye unless you get the plank out of your own eye first. And those two thoughts were the things that kept coming back to me. Now, I'm not coming to you saying what a load of rubbish you are. I'm not coming to you saying you're getting it all wrong. I'm not coming to you saying lots of planks in your eyes, so don't try and get specks out of other people's eyes. I'm not coming saying do not judge lest you be judged, in the sense that I'm not saying you shouldn't look at what's happening and discern what's right and what's wrong, because you should. But I am thinking that we have to be quite careful when we do act and judge things. And I am feeling that God's saying, just pause for a moment and look at yourselves. Not stop there, but that is preparatory to where we go next. See, we've talked about chains being broken, and I hadn't particularly thought of raising that, but as we prayed, Nick said he can't get it out of his thinking, it's there all the time, and we mentioned it briefly a few minutes ago. It begins with our chains being broken, but I am utterly convinced we are called to break other people's chains. We are called to make a difference. That's why I'm asking this question, because what must I do is a big, big question right now. What must I as an individual do? What must the church do? And my objective this morning is to simply get us thinking with the help of the Holy Spirit through these issues. I'm not offering you all the answers this morning. In fact, I do have some answers, I believe, but I'm not offering you those this morning. I'm actually provoking us to ask more questions of ourselves. But I am seeking more questions, and then I'm seeking more answers. Because as we analyse the circumstances which produce the enormous problems we're presented with, we need to ask what more we can do, and are we equipped to do it? The Bible tells me that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's one of the phrases used. Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Another way of putting it, Jesus came to declare that the kingdom of God was at hand. Effectively, he said, right, now is the time. God is now. His rule begins now in this world. It's not complete yet, because if it were, those things I began talking about would not be mentionable, because they wouldn't be happening. If God's rule was entirely happening, those things would not. But on the other hand, we are in a time when the kingdom has been declared. The battle has been won, because at the cross Jesus gave his life for you and for me, but not just for you and for me, not just for those who believe. He gave his life to make a difference and to bring that kingdom in. And the other thing Jesus did, which I think is really important, is he demonstrated a life of faith. He knew what it was to know what God was saying, God his Father was saying, and to do it. And actually, if only we could do that, that would be the answer. But you notice I didn't offer it early on, because it isn't that easy. Truth is, anybody who tells you that becoming a Christian all will be well has got a very limited view of it. Now, I believe with all my heart it is vital that we should become a Christian. Don't get me wrong. But there's the occasion when you sometimes might feel you've got to warn people that if they go down that track, there's going to be some changes. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But, there was a but there, who said, I have overcome the world. So, what about action? I've got two answers. I've got action and I've got prayer. Let me just mention a few actions. I think at times letters are important. But there are two types of letters. There are those that express our dissatisfaction, but hopefully they will also include some positive remarks that point a better way. If we're just knocking things down, we need to point a better way. But do you know also, letters of encouragement are hugely beneficial. Now, I get both sorts. And unfortunately, at times, I'm too affected by the first. Which I shouldn't be. Okay? Confession time. I shouldn't be. I have to learn. Because sometimes, even though you know it's wrong, sometimes it lodges in here or somewhere. And it restricts you. But you know, yesterday I had an encouragement one. I had an email come in yesterday. I was sending out the prayer update. There are 28 people who pray for me on a daily basis or something like that. And every 4 weeks, a calendar goes out just saying what I'm doing. It looks as though I'm not doing much in this next month because it's not all in place yet. But I sent it out, and do you know, within an hour I had an encouragement email from somebody that I'm not going to tell you any of the detail about, just to tell you how wonderful it was. I just sat at my desk and cried because I was moved by what was being said to me. So letters can, both types, be really important. Petitions sometimes. Financial support. You know, we took up an offering a few weeks back, and no doubt you will separately have given into the DEC fund to make a difference to Eastern Africa. Christians as individuals and church as the collective have things to state and to demonstrate. It's both things. Some things we have to say, some things we have to do, and the two have to line up. Let me give you a few examples. Successful and high quality marriage and family life is to be demonstrated and applauded, I believe. And we need to find ways of sharing what we discover. In other words, it may be there are going to be opportunities. We've sometimes done it. We've done marriage courses, not just restricted to ourselves. And no doubt there are going to be opportunities where we can help parents bringing up their kids. Not because we're the experts, but because there is something about God's help that makes a major difference. Wise financial choices need to be demonstrated. And we need to find ways of sharing what we discover. Christians are often involved in debt counselling. And either one-to-one support of other people or organisations, we can make a difference. We can contribute to our communities in very positive ways. It does seem this year that's been demonstrated more clearly than ever before through Heaven Sent, and now, as Kirsty was telling us this morning, a simple thing like painting play equipment, that equipment then is there for the next, 5-10 years. And every time it's seen, there's just that recollection. Whether people or no, in one sense, doesn't matter. We've contributed something. But there are all sorts of ways, and I think they're going to get bigger and bigger. And I haven't got time to pause with those. We believe God has said that we will see chains broken for others around us. I had written that down, but that's become clear throughout our gathering this morning. Holiness, honesty, and integrity are to be demonstrated. Our lives will make a difference. Another one of the songs we sang, very first song, Shine, from the inside out. People do notice. And unfortunately, if we get it wrong, they notice that faster than when we get it right. But our values may have been too much influenced by those of the world. In fact, I'm pretty certain they have. And we may need to change. Because it's so easy to be influenced by the soap operas of the TV, or the consumerism, or all that kind of stuff, because it's not instantly, obviously evil, but it is a bit insidious, and it tends to make a difference. Our values need to be his values. But the other thing I want to draw attention to, and although I'm not going to say too much about it this morning, this for me is where I'm digging right now, and that is the question of what can we achieve in prayer. Because I believe it's a good deal more than we've seen so far. I've been pondering that a good deal just recently. Because when you pray for something as huge as a war, or as riots, or as famine, it's actually, your mind cannot get around what possible difference could be made. You've got in your heart a sense that God could do it like that, but he isn't doing at this point in time, so what do we pray? And this morning, even as I came back to this morning, I caught sight of something. I caught sight of the fact that if I only could see things with the compassion that Jesus demonstrated, I believe I would find it easier to know what to pray for. See, the Bible says from time to time, Jesus had compassion on them, and off the back of that, people got healed, saved, delivered, all sorts of things changed. So, you're now waiting for me to answer the difficult question, how? Because we have to answer the difficult question, how? And in the next 3 minutes, I haven't got the how answer, but I do want to encourage us to move down the track to find it. Are you with me? Now, we could just go on enjoy being church, because this is a great church, you know. It's a great place to be. I came in here very excited this morning. There were only a handful of people in. And as you rest of you came in, I just got more excited. I really did. And I'm still excited. But I tell you why I'm mainly excited. I'm excited because as I sat and reflected before coming this morning, I had a conversation with God. Now, I'm a bit cautious about saying this because, to be honest, you can make them up. I know you don't think I do, but you can. And I'm never quite sure. But I'm sitting there and I felt God was saying to me, and I think, he didn't put it quite like this, this is my summary, it felt a bit like, shut up, Graham. And I've got some more to give you. That's how it felt to me. So I sat in my chair and I said, okay, I received more of the Holy Spirit this morning. And then I prayed it over the folk round here. I did actually expect them to fall like flies, but it didn't happen. But then God was saying to me, don't judge what's happening by how you feel. Don't judge what's happening by the numbers you get in a blood test result. Just receive. But you have to start from the point with believing that when God says, I've got something to give you, and you say, yes, please, he actually is going to give you it, and you get it. And you have to come to a point where you think, I know that's true. And you know, I was sitting in my chair thinking, okay, God, I haven't felt a thing. And then, you know, I was sitting here at the beginning of the meeting, and I suddenly felt something. And I thought, oh, what's that? And to be honest, the medication I'm on gives me the occasional hot flush. So sometimes I go all warm. And I thought, is that one of those? And you know, I thought, it's not. There was something just happened to me around the side of my head just for a moment or two. Now, you can believe what you like, but I'm believing it was God just giving me a little indication. But I know God is training me to believe what he says and what I claim from him without having to have it proved to me. Now that's incredibly difficult, but I think that's what faith is. I'm unearthing it. I shall probably keep on about faith for the next 2 years until I've got something more. But I felt that if only we could get hold of some of this, our prayers are going to be more effective. So in the next month, in September, we're going to devote our attention to prayer. We've done it before. We're not just repeating. We're saying to God, we are seriously coming to you to invite you to speak to us. And we want to speak to you about the things that concern us. You haven't got to get prayer right. It is allowable just to say, God, I need your help in this. You don't have to get the language right. You really don't. Which is a good thing. And actually, you don't have to be long-winded. Though I think the folk who were praying here at the beginning of the meeting thought I was probably demonstrating that you did. Because there wasn't a lot left to pray by the time I'd finished. But we're going to give time to prayer during September. And I want to ask you to wholeheartedly throw your weight in. I'm not just talking about meetings, extra meetings, prayer meetings. There will be some because it's easier to do together than separately. I'm going to encourage life groups to devote time to praying. I'm encouraging individuals to take initiatives as groups or as individuals. And I am expecting to hear God speak, and I want to encourage you, when you hear him, write it down on a piece of paper and let me have it, please. And then we'll sift it all and we'll decide what God's saying to us, because I believe God is wanting to direct us so that we are more effective than we've ever been before. Now, it all sounds similar to what you've heard before, doesn't it? Come on, be honest, you're allowed to. It does, doesn't it? Well, it is. But I still believe it's got to be said, it's got to be explored, because there's something new. And we just haven't found it before. That's my feeling. Personally, can I encourage you to up your own level of prayer and devote some extra time to reading your Bible with an expectation that God will direct you through your reading and praying? Janet will produce a simple prayer and study guide that will be available to help you, but you're not restricted to that. I want to say, please, let's every one of us raise our level. Let's raise our game. Let's consider fasting. Let's consider leaving certain things out of our lives so that there's more time. Because there is time to pray, you know. However busy your life is, there's always something that could be eased out of the way so there's more time to pray. In the past, I don't think we have been awfully good, Molly and I. Well, Molly probably has. I'm sorry, I mustn't speak for Molly. But I don't think I've been very good at maintaining prayer and Bible reading during times when we're on holiday. I've had 2 weeks off. We haven't done that this year because we've got into a pattern now where what we do every day still belongs on holiday, same as everything else. And so my up in the game means I've got to pray more and I've got to read my Bible more. And you know that's... I'm professionally required to do it, so it's probably okay. But I want to encourage you all to do that. I believe some people will find God directing them very specifically into new enterprises which will make a difference to others. Over on the table over there, have you done it, Simon? Yes, over on the table there, this little Simon here, who is a remarkably gifted man in the handling of wood. Are they still all ash wood out there? All right, ash on oak plinths. Well, Simon's got it into his head to make some simple plain crosses, and he gave me some a couple of weeks ago. Simon also, his wonderful assistant. And so there's some details on there. Now, Simon asked me, could he put them out? What they're going to be for, there's a small charge for them, but Simon has also joined the Christian Motorcyclists Association. That's why he's not always here, because he uses an excuse to go off on his motorbike on a Sunday morning. And he joins with a whole host of other Christian motorcyclists who gather in various places and give things at work. They've got a marvellous Bible. Marvellous Bible with some fantastic testimonies. And you can sit down now. Thank you very much. And I just give you that as an example, because when he arrived this morning, he asked me if that was okay. He's just felt that's something God's given him. Now, if you were to know his story, you'd understand why it's important. It's really important. And it's also a use of the skills that God's given him. It's also a response to the answer to prayer that he had, a bit over a year ago, when his job changed. And, I mean, some people would call that scrap wood, wouldn't they? Fantastic. And, of course, some of these friends of his, I mean, he looks quite normal. But there are a couple of church leaders who've recently joined Ground Level who I think are in the Christian Motorcyclists Association. And you can spot them a mile off. It's the way they do their hair and the clothes they wear. And they're leading a church, I've forgotten where, somewhere up in Lancashire, I think. So that's just by way of an example. You will find God directs you. Now, I might find myself uncomfortable with some of the things that God directs you to do. I'll take the chance. And actually, you might possibly be doing things that you think is God that isn't. But then if we share together these things, we'll be able to. But I'm not so concerned about what we do. I'm concerned about our prayer. Because I believe we will receive additional specific direction from God that will enable us to serve him and our surrounding communities more effectively so that we can play our part. I also believe that we will learn more about effective prayer and see more we can achieve. Because I believe there's another level. And I believe God said to me that answers to prayer would not just be about my health. They'd be about other people's. And that's not my calling as a person. I believe that's in part our calling. We are going to see in our community people healed, I believe.